It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Oh, yeah, Bears are 3-0. Happy Victory Monday. It's Carmen and Yurko. We've been going long today. Greeny's back on tomorrow, but we're going to take you for another hour here to Waddle and Sylvie grab the reins. Then Black and Abdallah tonight at 6.
Drive up, man. If the Packers and the Bears are undefeated the weekend after Sunday night game, you and I should drive up and go to a game.
Well, that's the first, you know, the Bears after the bye will play the Packers twice in their final six games.
Yes, they will.
Including, they're going to be the final game of Thanksgiving weekend. Not kind of the Monday nighter. The Monday nighter wraps the week. But the Bears and the Packers will play for the first time on the Sunday night after Thanksgiving. So that weekend, that's going to be a hell of a way to finish. Can you imagine if the Bears keep this
up? Go to the game, drive back.
Are they allowing fans in Green Bay?
Yeah,
are there fans in the stands?
I don't know yet, but by then there might be fans.
I might be in for that if you want to do that, Yurk. I've never been to Lambeau.
It'll be a month after the election, you know, odds are. Odds are, you know, all of a sudden fans will be
coming. Well, let's see how it goes, Yurk.
Yeah.
Be about 3 weeks after.
I gave you a nice chuckle, huh? I made him laugh.
That was very good.
There you go. There you go.
It depends on what the outcome of the election is, Yurk.
But now, listen.
That's funny.
My point is that we should have some fun. We'll get home at 3 in the morning, get some breakfast. Kept a couple hours of sleep, right back on the air. You've never been to Lambeau.
No, never.
This
you believe that?
A unique circumstance and something you'd never forget as you move forward.
Tomorrow is the Unity Walk. I don't know, maybe Cap is not going to unite the Cubs and the Sox. Maybe he's going to unite like Team Trubisky and Team Foles. He says he's got a little extra coin in his pocket, if you heard this yesterday.
The Bears, what is the money line? The Bears can win this football game. And you know what I did? I went online and I bet the Bears.
All of a sudden, he's Captain Foles over here. He's, you know, on the Foles
bandwagon.
A lot of people have asked for proof. We haven't seen it yet. We're waiting.
If you're getting on Nick Foles, boy, there's a lot of room.
Al Prez, Dave Portnoy. Another good one, York. Dave Portnoy, he bet it apparently, and he's documented it. Right when Foles came in, he got it. He hit big time. I put the tweet out, a portion of our text chain from yesterday. It was at about 3:04. So you'll see this is right after the Bears had scored, I think, to close the gap to at this point within, what, they got within 10? I don't even remember. So
it was 26-16. They went for two. They missed a two-pointer, so 26-16.
Okay, so they got within 10. And I tweet, and I texted the group, and this is up on Twitter on my timeline, at Carmen DeFalco, you can see it. This game ain't over. No Jimmy Graham on the two-point attempt, ? I thought that was odd after he scored.
Right.
Sylvie responded, can you imagine if the Falcons choke again? Pat Boyle chimed in, the Falcons are doing everything they can to keep the Bears in this one. Then I responded at 3:04, Foles is going to win the game, and Quinn is going to get fired. I followed that up quickly with, in fairness, Atlanta has too many injuries to probably fire him, which Waddle then gave a thumbs up to. And then Waddle texted, Foles ain't great, but I think he'll benefit from a full week to prepare with a game plan tailored to him. The rest of the text chain is not suitable for the audience because most of the time we're animals and we're kind of disgusting. And yes, the Nick Foles... what do you call him? I don't want to say jokes. I mean, it's not a joke. God bless him.
His prodigious manhood.
His prodigiery. I'll make up a word. Yeah. Yes, his prodigious manhood became a theme on the text chain, as you can imagine. His prodigious manhood. And
suddenly I've got a taste for eggplant parmesan today.
Me too. Yeah. But like an idiot, I don't ever do this live betting. I don't think about it. You know, Abdallah was telling me, you could do stuff like, you know, they're giving odds on if Metcalf, Hopkins, and Evans catch a touchdown. You'll get 15-1. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'm like, I got to get in on this, man.
On the game. Yeah, yes. Put all that up there.
I got to get
Come
in.
Come on, Carmine, aren't you getting silly?
Because I'm kind of old school when it comes to my gambling. I gotta get with the times.
If you're on that, Metcalf does what Metcalf does, where he looks like he's scoring a touchdown, and he got Leon Lettet. Came up from behind, and he ended up knocking the ball out through the end zone. Touchback. Carmen hates the touchback.
I hate it.
But a touchback right there.
But he scored later, though. Yeah.
You're going to screw me over,
champ. You would have been pissed. He did score later.
He didn't, though. DeAndre Hopkins screwed you over.
Yeah, and I don't bet that one. That was Abdallah's.
Abdallah.
I got to get in on this. I need to get with the times, so that's going to be my... I'm going to give myself some homework and really start to take more of a look at the live betting stuff. because I'm just not good enough with it. And I had a feeling on the Bears at 3:04, and 30 minutes later they won. I could have probably had it at 6 or 7 to 1.
7:50 you'd have gotten, man.
Damn.
I know why you're upset at yourself.
I'm a little upset.
Let's go to the phones, Carm.
Yeah, back out to the phones here. 312-332-3776. Lance is in Bridgeport on ESPN 1000.
Lance. Hello, Lance.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Where are you at there, my friend? 31st and Wentworth, right there by Farrow's?
Right there by Farrow's.
Pretty close.
My guy.
Go Sox.
Beautiful.
Go Sox. We got to talk more about them as we go on. But, all right, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what do you guys think of that Tariq Cohen injury? What do you guys think they're going to do as far as maybe picking up someone or maybe bringing someone up from the practice squad? What's the purpose of practice squad? They never bring anyone up from there.
Well, I think they have. And you've seen players that have been brought up from the practice squad.
All right, Tavis Pierce could be the next man up. Right. Some more Ryan Nall.
Right. If they've got somebody on the practice squad, they'll probably be looking if Tariq Cohen has torn his ACL and they're going to put him on injured reserve, then yeah, I would guess because the guy's been here all year or he's been here long enough to pick up the offense that you'd pick somebody up in your practice squad or somebody that's been cut by Philadelphia or Kansas City.
Right.
Because they've got very similar verbiage and similar offenses.
Tomorrow, every Tuesday, remember Midway Jeff Meller, the fantasy expert here at the station and one of our producers, he'll give you the rundown of the waiver wire. That's how we do our fantasy segment each and every week. I mean, Meller told everybody, go grab Myles Gaskin. If you needed it, Myles Gaskin put up 12, 14 points probably in most leagues with the Thursday nighter. You know, he gave out all kinds of good information.
Right, and that's when we do it, guys.
Every Tuesday. When the waiver wire opens for fantasy leagues. So be listening tomorrow. Right. Meller will give you the top choices that are available in most leagues and who you should be looking
for. This week, not as catastrophic as last week was.
No.
Am I correct?
I mean, last week was.
Oh, my God. It was Red Brum.
And I'm, you know, you're putting your roster together Sunday morning. I'm like, I got no Adams. So, I got no Julio. I got no Christian McCaffrey.
I've got three guys that I had to put on IR because we've got room for three because of the COVID on IR this year.
Yeah.
It was Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, and Cortland Sutton.
Mm.
Those are my three guys all year. I can't use them anymore.
Our guy Rudy in Sherrville wants to tell me something about those in-game bets. What's up, Rudy?
Rudy!
Hi, guys. Carm, the inline, you know, you're not going to get big number odds, but, you know, if you go to the in-game and you catch a game on TV and just mess around with the overs, you know, like Saturday, Texas, I think it was Texas.
How about it?
My son was clicking like every 10 minutes, you know, with the score change, and then yesterday with Dallas and Seattle. You know,
yeah,
same thing.
That's the stuff you got to be on the lookout for. You're right, and kind of feel your way through those games, Rudy. Thanks. I mean, what was the final of the Texas? It was like 60-57. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Somebody sarcastically tweeted me, "Boy, that Texas good defense." So I'm like, "Whoa, Texas got a good defense this year." I saw the score. I'm like, "Oh, smart,
unbelievable,
smart Alec."
Oh my God. Let's say hi to Roy in Belmont Heights on ESPN 1000. What's up, Roy?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Always glad to talk to you guys on a happy Victory Monday. But
yes.
we all need to slow down on this whole Bears Super Bowl thing. Got a lot
no,
of people calling
no,
me.
No, we can't.
A lot of people calling me yesterday, texting me. Bears to the Super Bowl. I was like, listen, slow your horses. Trubisky might be garbage, but Foles is better garbage. That's what I told them.
Roy, are you in Belmont Heights, Illinois, or Belmont Heights, Florida?
Is there a Belmont Heights, Florida?
Yeah, there is. Right
he's here in Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Roy's here. You really think he's more garbage than Mitch? I don't know. I don't want to say anybody's garbage. That's harsh.
He's better garbage than
Mitch. Oh, better garbage. I got you.
Yeah,
I got you. He's slightly better garbage.
But he's better garbage than Mitch. So we'll see. The whole Super Bowl Bears thing, I mean, I'm all for it, but let's pump the brakes. It's still Green Bay's division to win.
Well, I think you're right about that, Roy. There's no argument here. And I was a little hard on the Packers last year at times. They're inflated. You know, they're probably not quite 13-3, and they got outgained. Their offense looks awesome. And they did that last night without Devontae Adams. They look awesome. There's no other way to put it. I mean, right now, that coach... I mean, it looks
and
like
that quarterback.
It looks like a better version of the Rams because the quarterback is so much better. And Jared Goff has played okay this year. Yerk and I aren't the biggest Jared Goff fans in the world, but even Goff's been better. That version of the offense with that quarterback is even better. I mean, they're not going to put up 37 every week. I get it. they're going to regress a little at some point, but he's on a mission. Yeah, and the way Matt LaFleur's calling plays, that offense looks dynamite.
And they're a threat to score on every possession.
Every possession.
If you don't, if you hold them a field goal, you feel great.
Absolutely.
You force a turnover
turnover.
You force a punt, you'd be jumping for joy.
He's got no interceptions. He doesn't throw interceptions anymore.
Except against the Bears.
Yeah. But the combination of Aaron Jones and Rodgers and that receiving core and that play calling right now, they look incredible.
If you imagine the interceptions that could have been had if you could only catch the ball,
yeah,
then he'd have many more against the Bears because for one reason or another, it hits the Bears' hands and they drop them.
I know you're not a huge Chris Collinsworth fan. By the way, he got his son is a spitting image of him. Hey, handsome kid, the son.
Oh, he is?
Well, yeah. He sounds exactly like his dad, doesn't he?
What's the kid doing?
He's doing like studio hosting with them and stuff like that. He was on after the game. He gives like a little synopsis of the game on Sunday night. Yeah, a little
nepotism.
That's the way it goes. But I'm not going to begrudge the kid. He seems like he's polished. He's a handsome kid. I know you're not a big Collinsworth fan. He said that Aaron Jones got a jugs machine at the house during COVID, so his dad was shooting balls to him
right
with the jugs machine, so he could work on his hands. I mean, he looks incredible. I know you need Jamal Williams, but you ain't getting Jamal Williams.
Not until something happens.
You ain't getting Jamal Williams.
I got a different type of jugs machine in my house.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Well, I got the one to fill up jugs of wine, Carmen. Vino. Did you see that this morning on the news?
No.
A winery had one of their tanks explode.
Oh, no.
Oh, the red just spilling out all over. Just out of a rupture out of the side of the tank.
In California?
I don't know if it was in California where it was, Carmen. Yeah, New York makes a pretty good wine. Michigan makes a pretty good wine. Sure. You should have seen this stuff coming out, kid.
Wow.
Tears in your eyes.
Tears.
You know, I'm glad your grandfather's not here to see that.
Yeah, he would have been disappointed.
Because he'd have really been disappointed.
Well, it's like if there's ever a warehouse fire in Kentucky. I mean, you want to talk about...
Well, that happened. We saw that a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, my heavens. And then, you know, it contaminates the river and the poor wildlife. Not only are you wasting delicious Kentucky bourbon, it kills fish and wildlife. It's terrible.
Old fashions for me today, or should I go with Manhattan's? Which one do you
think? Boy, on a Monday, huh?
Yeah, well, it's Monday night game. Monday night game tonight. Well, you're not going to have a drink?
I'd go old fashioned.
Old fashioned?
Yeah,
all right.
Sounds like a Monday.
Beautiful. The big dark cherries.
We have, that's right, the Maraschinos. The Luxardo cherries.
Oh.
We have a little Nick Foles montage to play for everybody when we come back next. We still have more Bears calls. We get it. People are fired up, passionate. What do you think?
Baseball?
Foles is the quarterback going forward? Yeah, we should sprinkle in a little baseball before
we're
done.
The White Sox are going out to Oakland to get pummeled. The Cubs stay home.
Take it easy.
They get the Marlins.
Yeah, we'll see.
Not a great history against the Marlins in the playoffs for the Cubs.
No, let's remember 03.
Maybe they could exorcise those demons.
And then crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie in 30. We'll be right back.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
What he wanted, cannot connect on it. Every time, if I think as a coordinator, every time I'm saying, I'm not worried about Trubisky's deep ball right now. Period.
We're down at 8. Trubisky's pass is picked off.
What was the point where you knew a change had to be made?
When I knew it was the interception there on third down.
Look at Mitch Trubisky. Nick Foles has his helmet on as well, Jonathan.
Looks like Foles is going to come in. Trubisky all the way away from the offense. Usually when someone's that far away, you know he's not going to get in. And they need the spark right now.
Second and 6. Catch is made by Robinson. And he breaks free. Allen Robinson takes it all the way for a Bears touchdown. Foles on third down. Second touchdown today. Third down and 8. And the Bears are ready in field goal range. The pass is caught in the end zone for a touchdown by Anthony Miller. The Chicago Bears take the lead with 1:53 remaining.
I didn't see a whole lot. When we were in the huddle, I had explained to Anthony that if I do happen to kill it, I'm going to throw it to the L. So get to the L on the L, and it'll be like a pretty stiff ball. So I just knew, just in case, that I didn't have time to get it off cleanly, that he would be there. So we had that conversation. He did his job.
Second down at four. As Ryan fires, intended for Ridley, and is intercepted. Picked off by Tashaun Gibson. He came on early in the third quarter after Trubisky was picked off by Bleeding Ray Wilson. Bears won their first two games with Trubisky at quarterback.
Yeah, so the question is Foles the guy now for the rest of the season?
Looks like it. Vilma, Kenny Albert, Fox with the sights and sounds. Sounds for our purposes here on the radio. Yesterday, that was the story in Atlanta. Well done by our producer, Tyler Rocky. It's Carmen and Yurko sitting in today all the way until 2. Greeny will be back on tomorrow. That bet we were talking about that El Prez made from Barstool, you know, he's got a pretty good bankroll. I wish I had it. He bet $10,000 on the Bears to win. That's pretty good at 7.5 to 1. Good afternoon.
So total bet back, 85 Gs.
$85,000. I wish I had that kind of bankroll. I would have liked to put 100 on the Bears at 7.5 to 1. I should have followed my own advice.
Had 850 coming back.
That's right. When I said the Bears are going to win the game.
A couple less zeros.
Shame on me. Couple less zeros, just a few.
Couple less zeros.
Yeah, he sold his He sold the controlling stake in the company for like $40 million or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he's doing like fine.
That. Yeah, I think he's doing okay. He can afford to bet $10,000.
He's doing fine.
Oh my God! And there it is. Nick Foles saves the day yesterday. Somehow the Bears have done this twice this year. Once with Mitch, in fairness, in Detroit. Yesterday with Nick Foles. It's incredible. I mean that they're 3-0. The way they've played in the first 3 weeks, that they're 3-0. Is simply remarkable, and now 538 gives them a 76% chance to actually make the playoffs in the NFC. And we'll take that as Bears fans. I know it, Yurk.
I'm taking it, and I'm running.
Yeah. Cubs and Sox are off to the playoffs. The White Sox have to travel. I mean, disappointing finish. I'm hopeful that they can flip the script now. The regular season's over, time for the postseason, but they fell all the way to the seventh seed. The White Sox really stumbled. They had a 3-game lead in the division, Yurko, on September 18th. And in a 10-day span, they lost 8 of 10. Dylan Cease is increasingly frustrating. Lopez is, forget about it. I mean, Reynaldo Lopez. If they don't move him to the bullpen in the offseason, I'm not sure what you're doing with Reynaldo Lopez. Cease is frustrating, but, you know, he's thrown all of, like, 130 innings. So it's – I was being a little meathead on Friday night with some of my White Sox fans' friends.
That was the pummeling, by the way.
I was pretty down on Cease, but it was more just like meathead stuff. It wasn't. I mean, I think he's thrown 133 innings, so there's still a long way to go. But boy, it's frustrating. I mean, you can't strike out 7 guys per 9 with that stuff. Like, what is that? What is that? What is, you know, the most walks in the league and an ERA over 4? And you can't strike out 7 guys per 9 with that fastball, and that's like, why? What? What is it? It's
got to learn how to pitch.
I guess I was being very meathead Friday. I was pretty down. I turned the Sox game off. Oh. Somebody wanted to talk earlier about.
I kept it on.
You know, the beaning, and I was long gone. I started seeing it on the text chain. I'm like, forget it. I was out. There was too much other stuff happening. It was frustrating. So they really lose control of the division. They're all the way down to 7, and now they got to go Oakland, where they never seemingly play well. That Oakland team's a good team. So we'll see how this goes. But I'm glad for a couple of things, really one thing in particular, and that's Luis Robert did have himself a nice weekend. Got back into the lineup. They moved him up one whole spot. Way to go, Ricky. But he did finally respond after going hitless in 8 straight. Luis Robert had a nice weekend, 5 for 11 with a walk and 2 runs scored. Chris Bryant, equally for the Cubs, had a nice weekend. I mean, Cub fans needed to see that, don't you think?
Well, you need to see that. The rest of everybody, yes.
Hit 2 home runs. I mean, Bryant was terrific over the weekend. I don't get the what's happening here with, you know, Chris Bryant firing on everybody. I don't give a bleep what people say. I mean, well, who's going to Chris Bryant like saying that everybody hates you? But I don't understand. Where did this come from this week? All from Gordon Whitmire's article?
No,
I mean, because Sylvie asked a legitimate question?
People aren't as enamored with Chris Bryant as they once were.
He's still, don't most sensible Cub fans know, like, he's still excellent? I mean, they might not want to pay him. That could be a different conversation, but like,
right.
Don't most sensible Cub fans know better to say than Chris Bryant stinks?
After he won Rookie of the Year, after he won the MVP,
well,
things haven't been as rosy for Chris Bryant. So naturally, those questions are, do you want to make that type of commitment to him?
Why is that?
And any and all offers that have come from the Cubs have not been at $30+ million a year.
I guess I'm just wondering, like, why is it that we've gotten to a point in this world that when simple conversations that are legitimate about paying a player in, you know, let's say in excess of $300 million over the life of a contract, why is simply having a dialogue about whether that's a smart business decision or not, why has that become reporters go to Chris Bryant or people tell Chris Bryant that everybody thinks you suck and they want you gone, and Chris Bryant turns around and says, I don't give a bleep about any of them, and go bleep yourself.
Is it a poor question or
what is that? I mean, and I got news for you. Chris Bryant does care. Everybody cares a little bit.
Sure they do. But if somebody comes in and says, hey, we think you suck, you know, then what would your response be to that?
Go bleep yourself.
Don't have a triggered question like that. Isn't that a triggered question?
It is a triggered question.
You're triggering the guy right there.
Yeah, like why is word getting back to Chris, or why is he interpreting things like, is he worth $350 million? Like, why is that why can't that be part of a somewhat sensible, intelligent sports conversation? I don't understand that. And it's in everything in this world right now. It's politics, it's sports, it's everything. Like, how is that unfair? How is that an unfair debate to wonder if Chris Bryant is worth $350 million?
It's not an unfair debate.
It's really not.
It's not.
You know, like, and for Gordon Whitmire to pen the piece he penned, like, why are you so triggered, Gordon? It's really not an unfair or out of bounds question.
I think the dilemma that's out there now is the thinking is, if you don't think the way I do, you're wrong.
That's the problem in this world.
Exactly. Thank you. I agree with you. I concur. There's no discussions. There's no learned discussions. There's just, if you don't think this way, you're wrong.
But it's even like permeated its way into journalism. And that's what's troubling, I guess.
What they call journalism.
Yeah, I mean, like, yes. Chris Bryant's got to respond to some notion that everybody hates him or thinks he stinks. I don't think everybody thinks Chris Bryant stinks. I guarantee if you polled most sensible Cub fans, they would tell you that he doesn't stink, that their best chance of thriving is still with Chris Bryant being the most dangerous hitter. He probably still is the most dangerous hitter in their lineup. I got news for you.
I think if you also ask people around Major League Baseball, somebody is going to be willing to pay him.
I would think so.
You know,
I would think you're right about that.
Yeah, the player's responsibility is not to provide the home discount. It's to maximize the value of his deal.
Yeah.
And that's what he and his agent want to do.
He's going to strike one huge deal here. This
and
is
if
be
it's
it.
Not in Chicago, then it's not in Chicago.
No,
If the powers to be over there, the triumvirate, Starbucks boys.
It's really just the two of them now. Yeah. McLeod's gone.
What'd they do? They optioned off McLeod to AAA Buffalo?
Did they take the blame? They changed his title, didn't they?
Yeah, they
McLeod?
Did. Yeah, you're not part of the group anymore.
Yeah.
They made him leave those offices. You set up on the other side of
you got to go to Pete's Coffee now. Yeah. You're not in the Starbucks
club
anymore.
You're not in the group anymore.
You're out of here. Didn't they change McLeod's title?
Yeah, he's the senior VP of player personnel now.
Which was a downgrade, wasn't it?
So, yeah,
I think they downgraded McLeod. I think they said it's just going to be the two of us from now on.
Poor McLeod.
No, they're very collaborative over there, in fairness to them. It's not, I mean, they really do. They have a pretty big big group that they listen to. But
I'm assuming he hasn't received any $30 million offers from the Cubs. They may have been there before.
Yeah, maybe
but
not
they're not going to be there now, and the business of baseball is going to be a little bit different next year, don't you think? And now they've got to negotiate a contract.
It could be. I mean, you know, revenues won't be the same. I get it. I don't like it when MLB owners cry poor. It's not a losing proposition.
Especially here in Chicago.
Yeah, they like to. They tell you it's a losing proposition year in and year out. That ain't true.
What kind of biblical?
Biblical
losses. Biblical.
Yeah. Well, more
dogs
than
dogs and cats living together?
I get a kick
out. That kind of biblical?
I get a kick out of, you know, guys like Ricketts and Bill DeWitt saying how it's not, you know, they don't make money in baseball. That's a joke. Now, if you want to come out and tell your fan base, listen, you're not going to like this, and we're very rich and we make money, but this year is going to be different. The offseason is going to be different. We don't have as much. We've lost a tremendous amount of revenue. We've lost, let's say, 35. I'll even be generous. I'll say they've lost 40% of their revenue. Like, you know, you could almost, it'd be so much easier to accept the owner saying that, but when the Bill DeWitts and the Tom Ricketts come out and say, well, you know, baseball doesn't, you don't make money, that's an embarrassment. And they really take us everybody. They take everybody to be a complete fool. To suggest that the Chicago Cubs haven't been profitable for the Ricketts family is the height of absurdity. Laughable. It's absurd. It is completely and totally absurd. And that's what's that was so upsetting about the dialogue.
Right,
back
you
in
may
the
have
spring.
Gone into debt for capital improvements, but the capital improvements are also going to pay you back fivefold, sixfold.
It's absurd that the Cardinals don't make money. I mean, give me a break. What are we talking about here? It's ridiculous. Bears Mondays are brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. We'll take more Bears calls, and then we're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie in 15 minutes.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up in a matter of minutes. Let's go out to Santa Rosa, California. Jesse's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the reason I'm calling is I'm curious about the offense. Now that they spent the whole offseason trying to, you know, put the quarterback under center more and utilize the I formation. Now that Mitch is out and Nick Foles is in, are we going to see the 2019 offense where we have the quarterback, you know, in shotgun more? Or are we going to still keep this same type of offense?
All right. Do they? I wonder. I'd like to look at the split of that, Jesse, too, to see. Like, how much more often have they been under center so far this year? It does seem like it's a little bit more. I don't know. Any guesses, Yurk, on how, you know, does it look more like last year where Nagy has a specific idea about how he wants to run this offense and Foles is going to be in the shotgun most of the time? I mean, I don't know. You don't want to be too predictable.
I think you just watch as you start moving forward to notice if you've got any tendency or any difference between Foles as we go forward with him as opposed to Mitch Trubisky. When you're under the center, I think it's more of a, hey, we can do anything on this down. When you're in a shotgun, I think it's more, hey, listen, we're going to go into this offense that we like to run, and we're going to give you these looks that you're going to get. You can run out
little,
of it.
There's always that little delayed thing, handoff, right?
Like they did to Tariq Cohen yesterday.
Right, you know, there's always
but
that.
But it's a handful of things that you could do. You could do a wide receiver, little flip forward or a handoff forward. You know, you can do that.
Sure.
There's some certain things you can do. You screen out of it, but you don't have a full complement of running games. You certainly can't run any power stuff out of that. And if you do, you're dictating which direction you can run it.
Mm-hmm.
So
because of which side you're overloaded,
right?
On,
like, well, which side the running back is on?
Because
usually you're going to pull the same side the running back's on and go to the opposite side.
Right.
You really have to let something develop if you're going to have the running back there. He's going to come meet the quarterback. And then you're going to have that cross action. Then he's going to come back to the side that he's on.
Dave,
I don't know. You got to watch it as things go on to see if they've got something. And then they'll do a self-scout and they'll try to change it up after November.
Watch Foles go through three picks this week and back to square one.
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, sometimes balls can get picked.
You know, like, people are going to go, oh, they were 3-0.
You know, there's things to blame, you know, certain interceptions.
It's this is the problem when you got
like Dak's interception at the end of the game. Who cares? He's throwing to try to get the ball into the end zone. You know, nobody cares about that interception.
You know, you got a team that, you know, you feel good about the defense. Nobody's playing defense really in the NFL right now, but you still feel good about the Bears defense in this window. And it's like the same old, same old. Here we are with the quarterback. We're pulling our hair out of our head. Like, you know, every little thing is broken down and debated and probably we overreact, and it's just, this is it. When you don't have the quarter, when you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one, right? Isn't that what they say? Dave's on the east side. What's up, Dave? Oh, did I hit? Yeah, there we go. Hey, Dave.
Oh, good afternoon, actually.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
You know, it's very curious to see who's going to replace Cohen in the plays. I think Mooney is a good a placement for him. I know he's a little lighter, but I feel like Cohen, he's quick, but he doesn't have a quick first step. It takes for him some time to gather, and then he goes. Mooney's one of those guys who just goes. I like that about him. Also, I think with Nick Foles, we're finally going to see a professional quarterback, because that's what he is, even though he might be a backup talent, a professional NFL quarterback execute what Nagy wants. And you could have seen that on Sunday when he kind of freestyled. They said after the game, Jimmy Graham was saying that Nick Foles was calling plays he didn't even know they had. So right there, it shows you the experience that he has over Trubisky. And, you know, he's not the answer, But, hey, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go Bears.
Hey, Nick Foles has one. Thank you, Dave.
As far as Mooney for Tree Cone, maybe at the receiver position when he goes out there. But remember, you're getting a specific matchup there sometimes, and it depends what they think about Cohen. Like a defense would look at him and say, if he's in a wide receiver spot, we look at him as wide receiver. You know, so like it would be four wide.
Right.
So you'd have a defensive back covering him. So that wouldn't be any issue whatsoever. They go on three wide, and he ends up being there as one of the wideouts. They could still just consider him. A defense can recognize a player not as a running back, but as a receiver if he lines up as a receiver position and just treat him like a normal guy. I don't think you'll ever see Mooney in the backfield.
No, I doubt it. The Bears have already moved one receiver to a running back, and that's Patterson.
Right, and I think Patterson's the guy that you'll see. If they go shotgun, he'll be in the backfield.
Absolutely. All right, Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. It's back for one day and one day only. It's coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko, ESPN 1000.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called in today to contribute. A lot of Bears calls, obviously. That'll continue with Waddle this afternoon. Sylvie's off for the holiday.
You're excited.
Yeah.
Feel these nipples.
Oh. Thanks to Tyler Rocky and J.R. Strauss for producing today. Black and Abdallah are here with Waddle. Sylvie's off for the holiday.
I'm just excited to see you guys.
I'm not even talking
about a victory Monday. I'm talking about getting a chance to see you
your
guys.
Your nipples are hard, like little raisins over there.
I could cut bread with these things.
Excited. Yeah, diamond cutters.
Yeah.
Bread. I could cut bread.
I'm just saying.
Oh, it's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Hey, how you been?
Two out of three of us got Bear stuff on.
Yeah, we do. It's a victory Monday.
I had Bear stuff on. Yeah, I usually wear it on Sunday.
What do you got, one thing?
No, a couple hooded sweatshirts. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you wear both of them yesterday?
No, just one.
What the hell? Victory Monday calls for some Bears gear,
just
man.
Just one. Yeah, I usually like to wear it on game day. That's what I like to put on. Yeah.
Seriously, on a scale of one to ten, how surprised were you that the decision was made yesterday when it was made?
I was stunned. Somebody had to tell me he's going in the game. Then I couldn't see him because he had the visor on.
On a scale of one to ten, one being not surprised, ten being very surprised.
Yeah,
is that the way we're going?
Yeah.
About a six.
Okay, that's
seven.
What I was going to say.
Seven for me.
I was going to say six. About a six.
I'm
just
a
because,
seven.
Look, I go back to game one when they were struggling mightily, and I remember texting you guys saying it's taken every bit of patience he has not to make a change right now. And obviously, what ended up happening was Mitch had a fantastic and the offense had a fantastic fourth quarter, and they ended up winning that game. And then I started to come along to the feeling like, look, I think these offenses are completely different. Not completely, but significantly different with both quarterbacks. When you see the offense they're going to run with Nick Foles, I think you're going to see a marked difference. It'll be a lot of shotgun. It'll be a lot of different
concepts.
Somebody
was just asking, will they be more shotgun?
Yeah, they'll be almost exclusively shotgun.
Really?
So I think like...
Exclusively?
How do you run it?
I think pretty much...
just trying to break that down.
Pretty much. I mean
you're limited in your running place you can have out of that shotgun formation.
True, but I'm... Okay, I will say it will look entirely different than what you saw with Mitch.
Okay,
they got Mitch under center for a reason, because they wanted him to process less, do less thinking, and just kind of... They scaled it back.
He saw too much, is what
you're
telling
me. He saw too much. So,
you know what the problem that is when you say a quarterback saw too much?
I can imagine it's not good.
Well, but think about how the offense looked different the first two and a half games than it did last year. Mitch is under center.
Yeah.
They're running the ball consistently. Yeah. All the throws are coming off of run action.
Right.
It tells
almost
you.
Almost everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that I would be shocked if the offense looks exactly the same Sunday against the Colts. I think
in terms of formation and scheme, okay.
He's an RPO guy.
Yeah.
Like Nick Foles does his job from the shotgun position, looking at the field, seeing things. He knows where the ball's supposed to go. This is what I've said all along.
Yeah.
He's a professional quarterback. Now, it may not always get there.
Right.
It's not Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Not Russell Wilson. But.
He knows where the ball's supposed to go. And I think if there's one word to describe Matt Nagy right now, without being, you know, too hard on Mitch, is...
Overjoyed?
He feels liberated.
Hmm.
Because now
the playbook is involved.
Right. Now, we may come to the conclusion 8 or 9 weeks from now that, oh, I don't like this offense. But you're going to finally see the full Matt Nagy offense because it's a guy's under center or a guy's in shotgun that he trusts.
Problem is you got to get everybody else up to breath now. That's you know, true. Up to speed.
Yeah.
Everybody else is going to have to figure out the rest of this offense, well, too.
And to go back to when they made the change, I started to think that it wasn't going to be mid-game because I think the offense would look different and the game plan would be different. But
he just had enough, I guess, right? He said, I can't do this.
You know, he said it was the interception. I have to believe that really, yes. Because think about it, Carm. Matt Nagy is scheming to get things open to take pressure off of his quarterback. When a play caller continues to scheme to get guys open and you're not hitting that guy 75% of the time, at some point you just become so frustrated. You're like, I need to find somebody that I trust. It's a trust issue.
I think that's it. I think that was probably... He had to be thinking right then and there, I'm not even going to come back with him in the second half. For whatever reason, he gave him one more shot and the pick just sealed his fate, you know.
When, and look at some of the comments afterwards about how Nick was telling Matt what he wanted to run. Like, this is what I would say to you. Think about it. You want a guy that if for whatever reason, all of your offensive coaches halfway through the first quarter get diarrhea and have to leave the field.
Yeah, could he do it?
Can that quarterback now run the system until the guys get stopped up and get back out?
Yeah.
Imodium.
And he can probably do that.
He can. And again, listen to what I'm saying.
Or Blackberry Brandy will stuff him right back up, kid.
Whatever it is. He ain't Aaron Rodgers.
No.
But he knows where the ball's supposed to go.
Yeah, and hey, let's not forget his most famous play. He was the one who told Doug Peterson. He gave it to Doug Peterson in the Super Bowl. He's the one who walked to the sideline at the timeout and said, what do you think, Philly? And he said, yeah. And Doug Peterson said, yeah, let's do it. He does kind of have that about him, right? Yeah. Like, Foles kind of knows.
A little bit of that coaching streak.
A little bit. And, like, he's got the
confidence what needs to happen at a certain time.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Right here, right now, let's do this.
I mean, what's the most important commodity between a coach and a quarterback?
Trust.
It's exactly right. And if the coach doesn't trust, then I...
By the way, that's between any coach and a player.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah. But especially that relationship.
And he's an offensive coach who's also your game planner and your play caller.
Yeah.
Like, he has to trust the guy under center or the quarterback that he's going to know what to do. And again, it may not always be perfect and the ball may not always get there. Nick Foles isn't going to remind you of Aaron Rodgers. But what he is he's a professional quarterback that knows where it's supposed to go.
So the quick story about trust, Alfred Oglesby was up with us in Green Bay, and Greg Blasch goes to him, and I know we're up against the clock. He goes, you're like the Tiffany lamp that's got a short in it. When I'm home, I show you off to all my friends and tell you how wonderful you are. He goes, but when I leave the house, I turn you off because I'm afraid you're going to burn down the mother blanking house.
That's perfect. That's exactly
what I'm saying. You got to have trust.
That's Mitch. Yeah. That's Mitch and Matt.
Yep.
And
listen, we're not going to spend the entire day,
lambasting Mitch.
Yeah, whizzing on, Mitch's football.
Because
situation.
You're probably going to have to use him again this year.
Look, he better be prepared. Nick Foles, one thing has shown you is he's not the most durable guy in the world.
If history's our guide, it'll tell you that Foles is probably not going to finish it out here over the next 13
Less
weeks.
Fragile than the leg lamp.
I will say this to you, the other thing as well. You could feel almost that there was an energy probably inside both huddles, certainly in the offensive huddle. And again, it's not a shot at Mitch. It's like, the guy comes in, and you know that guy knows where the ball is supposed to go at all times.
Right.
And I think it gives you a little bit of
And the huddle probably felt different, too. He comes in, and he commanded the huddle.
Yeah.
He didn't have that quizzical look on him. I think I know where I'm going.
So we'll see. What happens,
All right, Tommy. A lot of Bears
today.
That
was great, Tom.
Yeah, it was good to see you guys.
Baseball.
You sure you don't want to stick around for a little bit
That's
longer?
That's it. We're out.
By the way, your guys' baseball conversation about Chris Bryant and the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, it
was fantastic.
Spot on.
I mean, I don't know what the hell happened here in the last few days.
I don't know either.
What the?
Like, how did it get here with Chris Bryant? And I don't know who's fanning the flames here. And it's bizarre.
I went from zero to
120.
Yeah, I don't give a for what reason, I don't know.
It's very strange.
But reminds me of the Lovie Smith Bears that needed something to swing at, even though they were favorite to win every game, and they were the favorites to win the division.
Oh, we're the underdogs,
I don't give a...
There you go.
How about that?
All right,
guys.
Tommy, have a good show.
We'll talk
to you again soon, hopefully.
You look sharp.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, Waddle's next. We'll be back tomorrow at 10, and Greeny will be back in his spot at noon. We'll see you tomorrow. Waddle, I'll get you home next. See ya.